He's called us to be fruitful. What is a part of our purpose here on this earth is that we should bear fruit. Amen? And you know, fruit bearing, you know, when a tree bears fruit, it's always what? For someone else, isn't it? Amen? I mean, I'm not patient for myself. I'm patient for you. I'm not long-suffering for myself. I'm long-suffering for you. I'm not forgiving for myself. I'm forgiving for you. Amen. When I bear fruit, guess what? You know what? You can taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Amen. Isn't that true? Amen. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man or woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So not only is the bearing of fruit implied here, but the also is implied that what we are able to do for the kingdom of God is directly related to our fruit bearing. Amen? So part of the fruit is not only what we know of as the fruit of the Spirit, but also that fruit has to do with the works of Jesus in and through our lives. Let me read that again. Notice what he says here. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So as we're connected to him, there is a doing. I mean, you know that the Christian life is a doing. It's a doing. It's something that we do. Yeah, it's a state of being, that's for sure. But it is also a state of doing. But that doing will not be of any value unless it proceeds from the life that is in the vine flowing through the branches. Now we know Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Isn't that true? So there's going to be a doing that we are to accomplish. And in conjunction with that, every one of us as a believer, every one of us as a disciple, there are works which God has ordained, preordained for us to do. Read Ephesians 2:10. It says, for you are God's workmanship, created unto what? Good works in Christ Jesus. So they're good works that God wants us to do. So the starting place for this, if we're going to be fruit-bearing, is first of all is to understand that we are the planting of the Lord. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We must remember and realize that we are the planting of the Lord. We must be planted in him. We must, or as Jesus said, we must abide in him. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. So the first thing we have to understand is we are and must be the planted of the Lord. We must be in him. We must know for a fact that we are in Christ Jesus, and that we must abide in him, as Jesus said, and that directions for abiding in him are very clear here in Psalm 1. He says that we're to be, if we abide in him, we'll be like a tree planted by a life-giving source, a river. Remember what Jesus said to those who believed on him? He said, out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. In other words, when we are born again, we are saved as Christians, when we make Jesus our Savior and Lord, then at that point, what, we are grafted into the vine, or you could say we are planted by the rivers, or more correctly, the rivers are planted in us. Amen. And it is from this life-giving source within us, the rivers within us, that this life, this Christian life, is to come forth and bear fruit and to manifest. Amen. And if we try to do it any other way, externally it may look similar, but the truth of the matter is, it's all by the works of the flesh, isn't it? And we have to have confidence that if we're believers, we know we are, but if we are connected to the vine and his that life-giving water, that life-giving power of the vine is flowing into us, it cannot help but have a positive effect of causing fruit to come forth in our lives. Amen? And so we need to, from time to time, we need to look at our lives, ourselves. Come on. You know what? We need to spend more time examining ourselves than we do our brothers and sisters. Isn't that true? We'd all be better off, wouldn't we? But we need to examine from time to time, say, listen, am I abiding in him? Well, where's the fruit? Is there fruit? Is there fruit that's manifesting in your life? Is there action that's coming forth, an action of grace, an action of faith, an action of obedience that's coming forth out of your life that is revealing Jesus not only in the church but to those outside the church? Amen? If you never preached a sermon, would your life produce enough fruit for people to see there's something different, there's something transformed, there's something unusual about you? Come on. Notice what it says here. He says, if you will plant yourself in the right way, he says, you'll be like a tree that's always in season. Wow. You're producing fruit all the time. All the time you're producing fruit. I remember one time I was in Quito, Ecuador. Anybody ever been to Quito, Ecuador? Nobody. Just around the corner. But, you know, it's an unusual place because Quito is just right there on the equator. I got a picture. I was standing in the north and the south hemispheres at the same time. Because it's right there. But the thing about it is it's about 8,000 feet up, Quito is, so it's right there. So it's called, they refer to it as the land of eternal spring because the climate is absolutely perfection. Because you're right on the equator, but you got the elevation so that, you know, you're not just sweltering like you are in the Amazon. And so the growing season is year-round. It never stops growing because the conditions are perfect. It just grows and grows and grows. And things grow. You just, man, you know, you reap a harvest, plant another, reap it, brand another. It just grows all the time. Well, this is what he's saying here about us as believers. We should be continually producing fruit. Fruit should be coming out of us. Amen? We're the planting of the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 61. Now, as you're turning there, let me remind you, notice what he says. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, we would say what? Our delight is in what? God's word. It's in God's word. Because one of the secrets of abiding in Jesus is what? We abiding, his word abiding in us, isn't it? We abide in his word abides in us. Guess what it does? It produces fruit, doesn't it? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we know this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word took upon itself flesh. Isn't that true? So when the Word abides in us, it's Christ abiding in us. When we abide in the Word, we're abiding in Him, aren't we? Amen. If you want to know what Jesus is like, you got to what? You got to go to the Word, don't you? You can't look out here and find out what Jesus is like. You can look out and gain some elementary understanding about the Creator, but you can't understand the heart of the Father by looking at it. You got to go to the Word, because that's where the revelation of who He is has come to us. So we abide in that Word. We drink, we drink, we drink of the waters. We drink of the waters. We abide in that Word. And he says, what? We've come to a place to where what? We're always producing fruit for the glory of God. Amen? Producing fruit. In Isaiah 61, let's look there at, we're going to read verse 3. He said, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Amen. One translation says the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Listen, you ought to have, just a little side note here, what kind, you know, you ought to come dressed right. When we come to church, we got to come dressed right. I don't mean your Sunday best. I'm talking about, have you got on the garment of praise, or are you coming with the garment of heaviness on? That's right. You remember the parable Jesus gave? You know, when the guy, he said, you know, the master had a wedding feast and he invited people and they wouldn't come. And then he said, go out in the highways and byways. Remember that? And then the master was walking along and he said, he saw a wedding guest there who did not have on the wedding garments. He stood out, didn't he? Well, you know what? I believe that wedding garment was a garment of praise. We come to church here, and everybody's got on a garment of praise, and you got on a garment of heaviness. Guess what? You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. You're not going to fit in. But, you know, so when we come to church, let's make sure what? We have on the right wedding clothes. Amen? The garment of praise. The garment of praise. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. What is it when we abide in Him, when we begin to realize we are planting of the Lord, and this we begin to produce fruit for God, fruit of the Spirit, fruit in our obedience, fruit of our faith, fruit of being doers of the Word? This fruit, what does it do? It displays the splendor of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are to be living epistles. Isn't that right? Living epistles. People look at us and say, something's different about you. Not because you preached, you know, the Romans Road to them, or you did this or you did that. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you what. Most people, they got to see something before they'll hear something. Isn't that true? They've got to see something before they hear something. So let's let them see the fruit which will reveal the splendor of this salvation that we're wanting them to have, that we're wanting to tell them. Amen? He said it's a splendor. It's a splendor. Now, as we realize we're at the planting of the Lord, as believers, we're at the planting of the Lord, God is expecting fruit, is He not? He's expecting fruit. That's the next thing I want us to understand. After we realize that we are God's planting, we're in the vine, we're to be oaks of righteousness, we are God's field, and we're to bring forth fruit, then we need to understand the next thing is, therefore, God is expecting fruit from you and from me. Luke 13, turn over there. He's expecting it. He's expecting it. Luke 13. We're going to begin reading in verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. Now, what did this man, this husband, man who owned the vineyard, and who owns the vineyard? It is the Lord God. Isn't that right? Our Father. He owns the vineyard, and in that vineyard, you and I are plantings, just like this fig tree. We are plantings of the Lord. And notice what it says. He went expecting fruit. So what does God, you know, sometimes in the Christian life we think, well, I got saved and I'm forgiven and all that's true and I'm going to heaven, and we think that's the end of it. No, God is going to expect fruit from you. He's expecting something. Is there going to be any fruit in your life? He's expecting something. And, you know, and He comes to not only to expect but to inspect. Notice what he says here. He said, did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears any fruit next year, fine. If not, then we'll cut it down. So notice, he not only come to expect, but God comes to inspect. And let me just make this clear. It is God who inspects. Amen. It's not you. I'm talking about, you know, you don't inspect God's vineyard. That's God's job. Amen. I said that's God's job. Now you need to inspect your own vine. But He's going to expect, and then He's going to inspect. And when He comes to expect and there's not any, or He comes to inspect and there seems to be some problems there, that is, in this case, the husbandman said, let me dig around it. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm kind of digging around your vine. Come on. Sometimes it's not comfortable. But see, you have to, sometimes that he dug around the vine, what? To loosen the soil. May need to loosen it up. Maybe there's some rocks down in there that need to be dug out. Maybe the soil, you know, the roots can't penetrate. The soil's got hard, so you kind of got to dig around it a little bit. Agitate around that root. Ooh. Anybody ever had to go to the dentist to get a filling? Root canal? Let's see what else I can think of to make your day. Ah. Man, you remember him digging around that thing? Is that it? No, is that it? No. Ah! I think I found it. Isn't that right? Ay, ay, ay. Sometimes God's digging around. I'm not talking about God breaking your leg or killing your kid. I'm talking about this is internal. He begins to deal with you. There begins to be a dissatisfaction there. There begins to be a sense that something, wait a minute, what's something's not right here. This attitude's not right. This is not right. The way I'm spending my time or whatever it may be. You know, maybe he starts dealing with you. Listen, you're not like a tree planted in the water. You're not meditating in the Word. You're not spending enough time. Whatever it is, he begins to dig around that root. He begins to dig around it, dig around it, dig around it. You begin to feel uncomfortable. Well, I want to tell you what. It's so that what? You can bear more fruit. He's dealing with the issues, the motives of our heart, the attitudes. Those are the things usually that are the biggest hindering block. Oh, there may be things in our life. God says, you need to get rid of that. You need to repent, get rid of that. But for the most part, and these are things that fall in that category too, but for the most part, it's the inward things that hinder us more than the outward. Let me just say this. I don't have time to give you a lesson on it, but you study it out, you'll see it's true. God will judge sins of the heart quicker than sins of the flesh. See, I don't believe that. Well, study Saul and David. Study those two people. Why was it that Saul seemed to be judged so harshly? He never murdered anybody. He didn't sleep with another man's wife. But David did. I said, David did. Come on. Yet Saul had the kingdom taken away from him and died in disgrace. But yet David received forgiveness and God established the lineage of the Messiah through him. So go study that sometime. I don't have time to get into all that today. But it's the inward things he's coming to inspect because he's expecting fruit. God does not expect any of his plantings, any of his branches to be devoid of fruit. Oh, well, that's, you know, so and so. Yeah, they're great Christians. They got great faith and they're committed and they're faithful and that, but that's them. You just don't know me, Pastor. I'm pitiful. Okay, so you're a pitiful planting of the Lord. Does that sound right? You can't be both. I'm a pitiful planting of the Lord. I'm just that branch in Jesus that is withering up. Come on. That's not, if you are, it's not his fault, is it? And the reason he wants to dig around that thing is what? Because he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. And if you're bearing fruit, Jesus said you can bear fruit and then you can bear much fruit. So I commend you. If you have fruit, be encouraged. But he may dig around it, what? So you can bear more fruit. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. You got more cities to take. You got more giants to face. You need more fruit brought forth in your life. You need your faith to increase. Amen. You need your commitment to increase. Amen. You need your love to increase. You got more people to forgive. It's got to increase in you. You got to have that long suffering. Patience has got to increase in you. He's digging around, digging, digging, digging. Amen. See, sometimes the soil gets compacted so it can't draw the moisture and the nutrients it needs. See, you have to loosen it up. I remember this on the farm. Even after the crop was planted, it reached a certain height. Now they got plows and things where they can go through and, you know, and plow by those rows, you know, to loosen up that soil so it can continue to grow. But in the good old days, we used to get out with something called a hoe. I don't even know if a younger generation know what a hoe is anymore. H-O-E. Yes. Totally. Yes. bow your head. We're going to pray for you right now. In my innocence and ignorance, look at that. HOE, get you guys. But most don't know what an HOE is anymore. But in the good old days, we didn't have a plow and a tractor, so that we went by chopping without. We chopped the weed out and loosened the soil. Why? So it could draw nutrients. So it could continue to grow. I mean, we were encouraged because we seen the sprout come up, and it was coming up. And we said, that's great, but we want to make sure it comes all the way up and bears much fruit. Amen. So if God's digging around your stuff, the Holy Spirit's dealing with your stuff, if the message you hear sometimes deals with your stuff, then be happy because what? The husbandman's digging. Amen. He's digging. And he said, don't forget, there's going to be some fertilizer. Well, you know what they use for fertilizer in that day, don't you? It was organic. Usually processed by an animal. Do you get it now? So he said, let me dig around it. So you begin to dig around it. You think you're uncomfortable then. Just let him put some manure on it. Uh-oh. Blindsided you there, didn't I? Fertilizer. No, just put that Miracle-Gro on it. No, he's going to put some of that organic stuff there. Come on. Boy, is it aromatic. It doesn't smell like lavender. He fertilized. He said, let me dig around and put some fertilizer on it. Well, what'd they use for fertilizer in that day? Manure. Amen. So, you know, if there's dissatisfaction, frustration, impatience in your life about your walk with God and about things, you know, that's indicating that what? God's digging. Digging, 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 digging. He's turning up the soil. But you know what? Now he's going to what? He's going to fertilize it. Uh-oh. Some stuff that at first it doesn't smell good. It sure doesn't look good. And it sure wasn't something I asked for. Come on. But God says what? It's going to fertilize. It's going to fertilize. It's going to cause you to grow. It's going to cause you to grow in faith. You know, every test, every trial, every obstacle, every adverse circumstance, you know what? When it comes into our life, see, we think it's there to beat us down, but it's really there to cause us to grow. See, that may be some of the manure that's come on your root. Come on. And man, you look at it and you say, that's smelly, that's stinky, it don't look good, that's not what I want, it looks out of place. Come on, it doesn't fit in with these beautiful roses I had planned here. But I want to tell you what, it will make them grow, won't it? It will make them blossom, make the fruit come forth in your life. And so here's what we need to do. Fertilizing does what? It adds the missing but necessary nutrients to the soil to ensure proper growth and fruitfulness. Turn over real quickly to 2 Peter. Oh, I got 3 minutes left. 2 Peter. What are y'all laughing about? That don't mean that. Hey, that was Brother Karen that kept y'all last week. That wasn't me. Don't blame me. That wasn't me. 2 Peter 1:5. Listen to this. He said, for this very reason, in other words, well, let's back up verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. That's God's plan. For this very reason, what he just said, make every effort to add. See, fertilizing is what? Adding something that's missing. Adding something that's needed. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One translation says unfruitful, unproductive, unfruitful. So here are some of the additives that this fertilizer represent that God says, I want to add onto the root system so that what? You will not be unproductive. See, when we read that first part about his grace and all the promises he's given us to partake of the divine nature, oh, we're shouting. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, somebody even jumps up maybe and says a holy grunt and an amen. But then he says, now wait a minute. I'm digging around because I've come to look for fruit. And either he hasn't seen any or he's seen some and is encouraged. But either way, he's digging around and you're feeling that agitation, that dissatisfaction, that uncomfortableness, that, why has it not happened yet? Why is it not going on yet? He says, hey, I'm about to put some fertilizer there. Come on. And you know, we have to. If we don't understand this, then we will get all angry about the fertilizer. Well, God, I didn't ask for this. Come on. Come on. Notice what he says here. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Goodness. God expects you to be good. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. I know this is outdated, archaic with our society right now. You know, either that or somebody says, well, define goodness. It's right in here. Goodness, godliness. And to goodness, knowledge. In other words, listen, if at your current level you could defeat everything that came against you, what would be your incentive to grow in knowledge? We used to say it this way, new levels, new devils. Remember that? Amen. It's true, isn't it? New levels, new devils. Amen? If you're bringing forth fruit, God says, okay, that's great. I'm glad you defeated the lion. You defeated the bear. Now it's Goliath time. I'm getting you ready for Goliath. I got to dig around your root system some. I got to get you ready. I'm getting you prepared. I'm getting you ready because God doesn't want to see you defeated. God wants you. God's plan is for us to win every time, all the time, every battle. We're to bear fruit. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Oh, buddy, self-control. I'll tell you one thing. Bless God. It'll be a cold day in a certain place before I ever step foot in that church house again. Can't nobody say that to me. Can't nobody. Come on. Self-control. Flying off the handle. Getting mad. Not willing to forgive. Not willing to be patient. It's no self-control. Listen, without self-control, you won't bear much fruit. Because you won't be able to push away from the natural things to feast on the spiritual things. No self-control. How are you going to grow in faith? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And to self-control, perseverance. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I'm about ready to give this stuff up. Hear all this stuff and everything. Come on. Well, didn't he say in one place he compared us to an oak tree? You know how long it takes an oak tree to grow? Come on. Oh, no. Now, I want to tell you what grows fast. You know, I've told you this before. Now, all you folks from up north, I'm going to explain. Or from other places. But in the South, we had something called Johnson grass. Remember my Johnson grass thing? I don't know why they called it that. If I was Johnson, I wouldn't want it to be called it. That stuff can grow anywhere. It hadn't rained for 2 years. It's this high. It's amazing. It ain't good for nothing. It's absolutely good for nothing. You can't feed it to the cat. You can't feed it. It's just good for nothing. It's just old weed grass. But it'll grow anywhere, almost under any conditions. It's amazing. You know? But here's the thing. God hadn't called us to allow Johnson grass to grow in us. He says, you're called to be an oak tree. An oak tree's got to be by the waters. An oak tree's got to have this root system go down deep, and it's got to be strong, and it's going to put out shade, and it's going to put out fruit. He ain't called you to be no Johnson grass. So you're going to have to what? Persevere sometimes. Anybody had to persevere? Anybody in here, everything in life just worked out just the way you wanted it to, thought it would in every situation? Lord, we want to see what we want to see what a liar looked like, but I better not say that. That'd be mean, wouldn't it? But we haven't, have we? We have to persevere. People all the time want to ask me, well, why not this and why this and why that and why that? I don't know, just persevere. We're talking about this fertilizing process. To persevere, there's godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Hey, here's a novel idea. Let's just start practicing being kind to one another. You're not going to like everything about me. I'm not going to like everything about you. Come on. You're not going to like everything I do. I'm not going to like everything you do. But we can be kind. We can be kind to one another, can't we? I can be kind. Even if you don't agree with me, I can be kind to you. Can't you? Sure we can. We got the love of God. He said, see, this is the reason why he's saying, I got to dig around it and fertilize some of this stuff, because you need some brotherly kindness on those roots. You need some brotherly kindness in your soil. You need some goodness in your soil. You need some perseverance in your soil. You know, I was raised on the farm. We didn't own it, but I got to work it. But you know, I know they used to have something. I don't even know if they still have. Maybe they do. Called a county agent. Don't even know if they still have those. But every county had an agricultural expert called a county agent. Okay, usually he had a degree in agriculture and so forth, you know, and he knew all about all the stuff. And what you could do, you could take your soil to the county agent, and you could have them test your soil. And they could test and tell you what was in it and what was what you had that was good and what was lacking that you needed. And the farmer would know what kind of fertilizer and so forth to put on it. Now, every one of us, you know, in our soil, every one of our soil, though it's similar, it'll be different. And some of these you may not be lacking, but some of these you may. And listen, the husbandman, which is the Holy Spirit, will, as he's digging around those roots, he will show you exactly what he will be, if you will, your spiritual county agent, to show you exactly what's missing in that soil that you need. And when you add it, you're going to begin to see the fruit in your life grow and become much fruit. That is good, isn't it? Glad he thought of it. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Love. Now, this is some of the fertilizer. Because he said this is additives. He said, add these to your faith. Add this to the grace of God in your life. And he said, you will not be unproductive. You will not be what? Unfruitful. And the last thing, if we're going to bear fruit, is we've got to be connected. 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 And John 15, again, Jesus said, he said, if a man abides in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, what? You can do nothing. You can bear no fruit. You can do nothing. So there has to be what? We have to stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected to the Lord. We stay connected. How do we stay connected? We stay connected through the Word, through fellowship in prayer in the Holy Spirit. We stay connected, don't we? But you know what? We also stay connected through fellowshipping with the body of Christ. I've had people tell me over the years, well, Pastor, I just do my church at home. I'd just soon hear donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. The Bible says, forsake not your fellowshipping together, and yet you're going to tell us that you're the exception. Come on. Oh, yeah, Pastor, Jesus needs people, the apostles need people, but boy, you're just out there. That's exactly right. You're out there. You know, lone sheep are easy prey for the wolf. Isn't that true? We need to be what? Connected not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, by the Spirit, by the Word, by prayer, by fellowship, but also to one another. We need one another. We have to stay connected to one another. Remember, I gave you the example that, you know, that you couldn't say, you know, Pastor, I love you, but I hate your wife. That don't wash. Come on. Well, we can't say, I love Jesus, but I don't love his body. Same thing. I love you, but I don't love the bride. Jesus, your wife is just, man, I'm telling you. Have you noticed what a problem you have with your wife? You know how that will go over? Come on. Well, we are the bride, aren't we? Well, Jesus, I'll just tell you, you got the ugliest. What if somebody come up and told you that? You got the ugliest bride I have ever seen. You better hope he's got some self-control on that fertilizer, because if not, he might deck you. As we used to say in the South, them there are fighting words. Isn't that right? But how easily we do that with Christ's bride. I ain't going there, because I'm going to tell you what. I don't like that bride. I don't like the color of her hair. I don't like the color of her eyes. I don't like the way she dresses. Boy, I could meddle here if I wasn't careful, couldn't I? One more scripture here in 2 Timothy. Then we're going to pray, and we're going to let you get out in the... Oh, it's pouring rain. Y'all don't want to get out in the rain, do you? I just noticed it's raining. Ain't no hurry. You don't want to get out in that rain, do you? Pour all them fine clothes you're dressed in. Yeah. Ladies, get your hair all... You spend all morning getting that hair ready. We don't want that to happen to you. We're going to be considerate. I'm just teasing. We're going to let you go. 2 Timothy 3:16. Listen to this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Right, so far. Rebuking. Uh-oh. How does he dig around our teaching? That's one way. Teaching. He said to add to it knowledge. Rebuking. Uh-oh. Correcting. Uh-oh. Training in righteousness. Why? So that the man or woman of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, he's saying the same thing, isn't he? He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. So we got to get connected. So Jesus said pruning has to do with this. The inward motives, which has to do with what? Correction. Correction, as you know, as well as teaching and so forth. The second way is direction. Where and what do you want me to do, Lord? And then the third thing is the connections. With whom? With whom? So you got correction, direction, and connections. And all of that is part of this digging around, fruit-bearing process that God wants to bring about in our life. And he's going to have that for you in every situation. There's going to be things that he's going to need to correct. See, if you can't be corrected, you can't grow. Isn't that true? Because basically what you're saying is that, you know, I'm here, I'm stuck, and I don't want to go any further. That's basically what you're telling us. Now, you think it's because you already know everything, but we all see it different. Not that there's anybody like that here. I'm not implying that. Correction. And then direction. Direction. Where and what? Remember, we said Christianity is about doing. Well, where are you going to do it? What are you going to do? For most Christians, the extent of their Christianity is you know, I go to work at the widget factory all week long, and then I come on Sundays, and that's it. But there's more for you than that. And then there's connections. So there's all of these things that God is dealing with us about. And he's digging. He's planting. He's expecting. He's inspecting. Okay? And then what? He's connecting. He's connecting. He's connecting you to his purpose. He's connecting you to the what and the where. He's connecting you to a body of people somewhere. There is a connection. There is a connection. He said, if you are any vine severed from me, he said, it's going to wither up and dry. I've seen people over the years, you know, I've been at this in ministry 30 years. You know, you just stumble across a few things. You know, I had to be too smart in 30 years. But here's the thing. I've seen people that said, oh, I can make it. Oh, I can. I don't need, I can make it on my own. I don't really, you know, I don't need this or I don't need that or I don't need, you know, without fail, they never do. Oh, it may look like, you know, you can cut off a branch from a tree and for a while it still looks like it's got life, doesn't it? It still looks green for a while. If you just looked at it in that snapshot, you say, well, it didn't hurt it to get cut off. It still looks green. The leaves look good. Everything looks good. But you go back and look at that thing in a week, in a month. Because life has to be constantly pumped into the branch. It has no life of its own. It receives its life from the vine. It receives its life from the trunk. It receives its life, you know, that's flowing through that. And it's the same way with you and I. And see, some of that fertilizer that God puts around your root, it may look a whole lot like people. You know what I mean? In other words, people come into your life. Lord, I didn't ask for this person. Man, our personalities clash. I don't like this. I mean, you know. Oh, man. Come on. Won't they ever get it, Lord? I prayed for them 11 to 14 times. Ain't got. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, God brings people in your life. What? Because what? There's got to be some fertilizing done there. There's got to be something that's got to be added there. It may be long suffering. It may be perseverance. It may be patience. Maybe something that's added. That's why He's got to get you connected. Because if you don't get connected to people, to the rest of us, what's going to cause you to grow? Come on. See, the things you want to get, you think, oh, God, just deliver me from all of this stuff. Well, how are you going to grow? If I live by myself, who do I have to be patient with? Who do I have to be long-suffering with? Who do I have to be forgiving with? That's what I tell you, man. I'm, you know, living off by myself, I'm the greatest Christian in the world. How about you? Isn't that right? Man, hallelujah. Ain't mad at nobody. Everybody's forgiven because ain't nobody around. Isn't that right? Nobody to offend me. Nobody to do anything crosswise with me. Nobody that's got a different opinion than me. Nobody's got. Come on. See, this is why we have to stay what connected. God is expecting fruit, and He's inspecting for fruit. And when He doesn't find it, or when He does find some, start digging. Anybody, you might be sensing God's digging around your roots. Maybe we're digging around a little bit this morning. God's digging around, said, wait a minute. And now He's trying to add the nutrients. He's trying to add these things we read over there in Peter. Well, how does He do it? He doesn't just have a big sack of fertilizer from heaven that He pours out on you. He's not going to get His garden hallows out with His heavenly miracle grow and spray it on you. No, He's going to work it in us through the Word, by His grace, by His Spirit, we're connected to Him and to one another. Because the things you don't like about me may be the very things you need to help you grow. Isn't that true? You know, I've run into these people over the years. They're looking for the perfect church. Stop looking. Here's a novel idea. Why don't you go help one get perfected? Why don't you stay long enough to help one get perfected? It takes work. It takes work. Are you listening? Everybody wants to go to a turnkey situation. But it takes work. You know, there's no such thing as a turnkey farm. Turnkey house, but no turnkey farms. Oh, I want to buy a farm where the grain's already in the barn and everything's just right. No. You got to plow the fields. You got to sow. You got to get some of you got it. It takes work, doesn't it? But in the process, you know what? We produce fruit for His glory. Every one of us. Every one of us. Amen. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? I want to pray over you. I'm going to let you go in just a minute. Hallelujah. Even though it's still raining. Hallelujah. Maybe this morning, this message has spoken to you, and the Holy Spirit has just quickened that He is digging around your root system some. Maybe he's digging around it. Maybe he's speaking to you about it. I want to fertilize some stuff. Stop running from the fertilizing process. Stop. What a lot of times what we're praying about is really we're trying to stop a process that God is wanting to work in our life. We want to get away from this person. We want to get away from that person. We want this person out. We want that. We want our church to be perfect, you know, except for us. We can be the exception. We don't have to be perfect, but everybody around us has to be. Now, God, what does he do? He's digging around our root system, and what? He's wanting to add some things to your faith, knowledge, godliness, perseverance, patience, all these things, self-control. He's wanting to add some nutrients so that you can grow and bear fruit. And this morning, if you recognize that, as I pray, I want you just to acknowledge that to God and say, God, I want to be open to your digging. I want to be open to what you're trying to do in my life to bear fruit for you. I want to be open to it. Give me understanding about this process. Now, Father, I pray over every one of us, Lord, for I dare say that everyone in this room, Lord, there you're either digging or you're wanting to fertilize. You're wanting to work in us because, Lord, if we bear fruit, you want us to bear more fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, you want us to bear fruit. So wherever we are, Lord, you are wanting to work. And I pray that you would give us insight. You would give us understanding and discernment about this process in our lives so that we may cooperate. We may yield to the working of the husbandman, which is the Holy Spirit. That we may abide and stay connected and, Lord, not run from the circumstance, not run from the situations, not run from what you're trying to do. But, Lord, we'll learn to stay connected to you, connected to your body, connected to one another, and we'll allow this process to reach its full and complete work in us that we may bear much fruit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can stand up if you will. Hallelujah. Get ready to go out into the rain. Or you can stay in fellowship a while. Oh, you're on that scooter, aren't you? See how good you got it? You thought you were at it bad. But let me just say this in just a moment. I'm going to pray and dismiss you. And, of course, you're free to stay in fellowship as long as you want. If you're here and you have a need, you'd like prayer or ministry in any way immediately following the dismissal, if you'll make your way up here, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray with you, minister to you in any way. If you need healing in your body, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you, and I'll be up here for it, okay? Remember, tomorrow night, 6:30, we have intercessory prayer. Amen. How many think we've already prayed too much? Good. So we'll see you here. Hallelujah, because you just said we haven't prayed too much. So that means we need some more prayer. Amen. But if you can make it, we appreciate it. We know you. People got schedules and things, but all of you that can, 6:30 tomorrow night. Father, thank you again for today, for the message, for the word. Father, we believe, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit to speak to our lives, to work in our lives, Lord, that you are digging around the roots. Lord, you're inspecting, you're expecting. Father, I know this, that we are a fruit-bearing people here at Grace, but Lord, we can bear more fruit. And Father, we're gonna yield to your digging. We're gonna allow the fertilizer that you want to put on us, Lord. You're gonna analyze and you're gonna put the fertilizer into our lives that's gonna bring increase for your glory. Now, Father, I bless your people as they go. May this be a great week in God. Father, may where they go, they be living epistles easily seen and read of all men. God, I thank you they have favor with at their workplace, with their supervisors, their boss, their employers, their employees. They are blessed, blessed, blessed. For the blessing of the Lord makes them rich, and you add no sorrow to it. In Jesus' name, amen.